Let's speak on a subject of facing death, something that we all have to do, something that many of us have been in situations in our lives where we have faced death, and how we handle ourselves at that time, the way we feel, the emotions that we have, the confidence that we have, can all be related to whether we are saved or lost. If you're saved, you can stand there before that situation and have the confidence. Like it says in Philippians 3, verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." We can have that peace knowing that if we die, we're going to be going to heaven, going to paradise, time to be spent with the Lord. We're going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ if we're Christians for everything we did as a Christian. But we have the confidence, if we're saved, knowing that we shall spend eternity with the Lord in paradise. Psalms 23, a very well-known psalm written by David, reads, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That confidence that David had, that he will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you are saved, you can have that confidence. You've got that confidence that you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever when you die. If you're lost, you're not going to be in the house of the Lord. You're going to be in outer darkness. You're going to spend eternity in hell. So make the decision before it's everlasting too late to turn your life over to the Lord. And you'll get a peace that you just can't even comprehend. If you will, turn with me over to Philippians, the book of Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 7 reads, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." So we can have that comfort, that peace of mind, as well as peace in your heart, knowing that when you're facing that situation and you're facing death, that if you live through that situation, you've got an opportunity to serve the Lord even a little bit longer. If you die, you're going to be with the Lord. That gives you a peace that the lost cannot understand. They can't comprehend it. They don't understand the way that a true Christian that is in touch with the Lord, that has a good relationship with God, that peace, whatever situation you might be facing, that you can go into that situation with confidence, knowing that if you die, you're going to be with the Lord. If you live, you've got an opportunity to serve Him that much more, which is an awesome thing to have. I've had a few close encounters with death myself throughout my life. And I got saved when I was 13 years old. And one of the earliest encounters I had with death would have, or a close encounter that may have led to death, would have been my family was deer hunting. My dad, my brother and I, my uncle, we were all deer hunting. We had a little camper trailer that my uncle had gotten. And somehow or another, he got his hands on some gas that did not have the odor in it. I didn't even know you could, but this gas, like propane, but it didn't have the odor in it. And he had that hooked up to his trailer. Well, we've been out deer hunting all day long. But we came back to the trailer. It was already dark. And we approached the camper, and there was a little tag on the door knob, the warning from the game commission there that there had been bears in the area, just alerting everyone. Well, my brother and I stopped right there at the door. The door opened. We were reading that tag right in front of the doorway. Well, my uncle stepped on up into the camper, and they have these gas lights mounted right there on the wall, and he struck a match or lit his lighter. I don't remember which one it was. And it blew up. Massive ball of fire blew out of there. All I can remember is this massive blue flame in my face. All I could see was blue. And it threw me backwards several feet. I had this plastic raincoat, vinyl raincoat on, and it lit it on fire. And my brother saw me burning and was tamping out the fire and thinking I was just going to burn up right there. It singed all our hair off, face and eyebrows and eyelashes were all just burned off, and we got like an instant sunburn. So we didn't get hurt that bad, but it was pretty close to being a potential deadly situation. Now my uncle, he was actually standing in the doorway, and when the explosion occurred, it blew him about 25 feet out onto the ground. He was laying there on his back. We all went up to him and went to brush his hair back, and it just turned to powder. And he said, "Boys, I think I'm hurt." So we rushed him to the hospital, and he wound up with some second-degree burns on his face and hands, because we were all dressed for deer hunting, you know, pretty heavy clothes and so forth. So none of us got hurt that seriously. Actually, the guy that got hurt worse than us was a fellow camper that was on up the hill from us, heard the explosion, and started running down the hill to see what all the commotion was, and ran headlong into a tree, wound up with a concussion. He wound up hurt worse than the rest of us. And then there was another situation, another deer hunting situation, where I was using a 30-30, an old Winchester 30-30, and I had a 65 Ford Custom. And where I was deer hunting, there wasn't very many places to park, especially a two-wheel drive car. And where I had to park, I had to pull up pretty close to a tree on the driver's side. So I couldn't get out that door, so I wound up having to get out the pasture side door. Well, I went ahead and went deer hunting most of that day. And then I came back, and when I came back, I laid my gun in the seat with the barrel down, I mean with the stock down and the barrel up against the back of the seat. Well, then we were standing around talking, chatting, and got time to depart. Instead of taking the gun out, I still had the gun in the seat, and I thought, well, I'll just step over the gun as I got in the car. That was a mistake. The gun was loaded, 30-30, as you know, the lever action has to be engaged before you can fire it. Well, there's a very short part that you can pull, or distance you can pull the hammer back, less than a quarter of an inch to pull the hammer back. If you release that just right, it'll actually fire the weapon. And that's what occurred. As I stepped over, as I was crawling into the car, stepping over, I'd already got most of my body over, and I was getting my right leg over, my heel caught the hammer of the 30-30, just enough, clicked that hammer back just enough to strike. And that round went off. And it went off underneath my arm, through the seat, and right out the back glass of that old 65 Ford. Well, I thought I'd just blowed my head off, because the noise and the concussion inside that car, it felt like the whole side of my head just came off. So I reached up to see if it was still there. Yeah, I'd heard that if you had a serious head injury, you can't even feel it. So I could tell, well, I'm all here. No blood anywhere, so I must be all right. You know, even in that situation, it didn't scare me that much, because I had that confidence knowing that if I would have just took my head off right there, that I would be with the Lord for eternity. And then another incident in that same car, I was actually driving to school, and it was ice on the roads. There were lots of accidents that morning, mine being one of, I think it was about 13 accidents that occurred. I was just cruising down the road on my way to school, not thinking a thing in the world was wrong. Next thing I knew, I was on a patch of ice with no way to control the car. Well, I wound up going over an embankment, flying about 30 feet through the air. And as I was, it was like slow motion. It's like they talk about on TV and movies and stuff like that about how your life just all of a sudden slows way down. Well, my whole life didn't flash before my eyes or anything like that to say on TV, but as the car left the embankment, this peace came over me that is hard to explain. It was almost like God just took me in His hand, this nice little gentle, comfortable feeling come over me as I was going through the air, and I floated up. It was like free fall because the way the car was falling, I didn't have my seatbelt on. The old 65 Ford's got a bench seat. I came up out of the seat, just right up out of the seat, because as the car went airborne and was tilting down, I was brought up out of the seat and just floating. It was like free fall. If you ever done skydiving or anything, it's that free fall feeling. And I wound up, when the car hit, it nosedived into the ground, flipped upside down, and a fence post came right through the windshield and stuck right in the seat where I would have been sitting. But because I did not have my seatbelt on, I wound up in the back of the seat, in the back seat of the car, and the car was upside down. All I sustained was a very small scratch on the tip of my nose, and it took the wristwatch right off of my wrist. And that was it. Brought me through that one just as calm and secure. And there again, I had that peace, that calmness through that death-defying accident right there. And that peace comes when you have confidence in your salvation. There's been other incidents in my life. I've had bullets whizzing by my head, the sound of that twirling bullet as it goes by. I've had a shotgun jammed in my belly and threatening to kill me. I've had others threaten to kill me. I've been on the police department, and through that, I've been in construction. I've been knocked off a roof when setting trusses, and as I was falling, I grabbed the edge of the roof, and there I was dangling by my fingertips. And then I had a close encounter with some gas on a job, and had a brick wall, about 2,000 pounds of brick, just about kill me. And then in recent years, I've faced death and health problems. I've been diagnosed with some heart trouble. And as they took me in to have the test, they put you on that cart and they roll you down the aisle there to take you to that catheter, that cath lab where they do the test on your heart. And when I kissed my wife and didn't know whether I'd be making it back out of that or not, because they didn't know what was going on. And as they roll you down there to check you out, you don't know what you're facing. Are you facing possible surgery, or are you facing something they can't repair, or are you looking at your last few days? And to be able to do that and have the confidence knowing that whatever the diagnosis is, whatever you might be facing, that if you die, you're going to spend eternity in heaven. If you live, you got an opportunity to serve the Lord even more. And anybody out there that don't have that kind of peace, that peace that passeth all understanding, you can get that through salvation. You turn your life over to the Lord and have confidence in the Lord, and He'll give you that kind of peace. Peace that passeth all understanding, as it says in Philippians there. Let's read it again, Philippians 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now this was written by Paul, like I say, to the church of Philippi. Paul had been through it. He had been through many encounters. In fact, let's look at some of Paul's situations instead of looking at all of mine. If you will, turn over to 2 Corinthians in chapter 11. 2 Corinthians in chapter 11. This is, like I say, this is Paul. He's describing some of the things that he faced throughout his ministry. in verse 24, it says, "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not." So Paul went through a lot during his ministry, a lot of close encounters with death. Like he talks about in the wilderness there, about the story about when he's picking up that bunch of branches to start a fire and got bit by a deadly snake, just shook it off into the fire. The Lord saw him through that. The Lord wasn't done with him. The Lord was still working with him. There's things that he wants all of us to do. And he's not going to take us out of here until he's done with us. And we've got an opportunity. We need to work and dedicate our lives to do everything that we can to bring honor and glory to the Lord. So when we stand before the Lord, we'll hear what he says in Matthew 25, verse 21. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." That is the goal of all Christians, or should be the goal of all Christians, to be able to stand there right before the Lord and hear those words. Because we all know, like it says in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now this, like I said, was a letter written by Paul to the church of Corinth, and he's speaking to the Christians, letting us Christians know that even though we have salvation, the things that we do, we're going to be held accountable for. We are going to be judged for the things that we do, because we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now the lost won't stand before the judgment seat of Christ. They'll be at the great white throne judgment, where all the lost are judged. Because in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." So we will all be facing a judgment of some sort. We're instructed in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." The life he's speaking of there is eternal life. Few be there that find it. There'd be a lot of people that are going to not enter in at the straight gate, which is a terrible, terrible thing to comprehend and to think about. So all of us Christians need to do everything that we can to witness, to testify, to bring as many as we can to the Lord, to help spread the gospel, as he told us in that great commission, to preach the word throughout all the world to every creature. Now, talking about Paul again, he wrote a letter to Timothy, the second letter to Timothy. This is written while he was in prison in Rome, and shortly after he wound up being beheaded. And he was writing this to Timothy, thinking that he was fixing to be killed. 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 6, Paul writes, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. All them that love his appearing. So all of us will get a reward. All of us will be rewarded for the things we do as Christians. Some folks don't understand that when we die, we're going to be in paradise immediately after our death for those that believe in the Lord. But Jesus gave us an example of this when he was speaking to the thief on the cross. When he was crucified there in the middle of two thieves, one on either side of him. Turn with me, if you will, over to Luke chapter 23 and verse 39. It reads, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Jesus was telling him right there that he had salvation, that he was saved because he believed in the Lord. So, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." He was saved right there on the spot, hanging there on the cross. He didn't go through no procedure to do this other than the fact that he turned his life over to the Lord and asked the Lord if he would remember him when he comes into his kingdom. And that's what you need to do. Turn your life over to the Lord. Yield to the Lord. Become a fruitful and productive Christian. Work as hard as you can to do the will of the Lord. And you will receive just reward for everything that you've done. So that when we stand before Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, we can hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." The only way that anyone is not going to be facing death is to be part of the rapture. Chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." And we know that right here where he's speaking of those that sleep in Christ are those that are the saved that have died. And verse 17, "Then we which are alive and remain," or those that are here when Jesus comes back to get all of us that are saved at the rapture. Now, this is not the glorious appearing when he sets up his millennial kingdom. This is a rapture which occurs directly before the tribulation. We will be caught up. We won't go through that sting of death that it speaks of. If you will, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and see where it talks about the sting of death. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Okay, now this is speaking of the rapture that we just read about in Thessalonians. First, the dead, they will get their glorified body. That's what it's talking about here, is taking on incorruptible. It says, and we shall be changed. We there being those that are saved at the time of the rapture. In verse 53, it says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. This corruptible body here, this cursed body, the one that's decaying, the one that has all the diseases, the one that's dying. We will no longer have all our aches and pains and diseases. We will take on a new glorified body, body which is considered incorruptible. It says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Immortality means eternal life. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of it is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So we got two ways to leave this world. We're either going to die, or we're going to be raptured. Everything that needs to occur, according to the prophecies, everything that needs to occur before the rapture has already occurred. The rapture could occur at any moment. As it says here, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, meaning faster than you could even blink your eye, the rapture can occur. You need to be ready for that. You need to be ready for that. If you are lost, turn your life over to the Lord. Get saved. Don't know how much more time you got. You're facing death. All of us are facing death. Either going to be facing death in the way that we understand it, or we're going to be raptured and transformed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, given our glorified body, which is going to be awesome to have that pain-free, glorified body with no disease, no imperfections, no corruption whatsoever. In an immortal body to spend eternity with the Lord in paradise. Because we all must strive to be able to say like what Paul said here, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Because we want to hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So if you're not ready to face death, get ready. Thank you, Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, for this opportunity that we've spent here studying your word. For be anybody out there that doesn't have that peace that passeth all understanding, that doesn't have that calmness when they face death, please give them that calmness. Save their soul before it's everlasting too late. Draw in all those that are lost. Help us to be able to have the kind of life that you would have us to have. Lead, guide, and direct everything in our lives. Help us to be good and faithful servants. Help us to be fruitful producers. Productive Christians, thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to work for you, to be able to serve you, and be able to have everlasting life, an everlasting life that none of us deserves, but you have paid the price. Thank you so much for all your many blessings, as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.